Welcome back to another episode of the Socialist Barista Podcast. You're joined by the SB Gang. We're spoon ganging, spro slanging, SB Gang, baby. Fortunately, Trey does not use a spoon. And
it's worth a cap.
Whatever. Unfortunately, Nick is not available because they are on the front lines fighting forest fires in
So brave.
So give it up for Nick. Give them a shout out and just tell them you're grateful that they're out there fighting those forest fires, you know. Takes a lot of courage and bravery for sure.
Hey. Well, if Nick's not here, then I gotta tell you guys, there's some stuff that grinds my burrs. And I'm going to go in, and I'm going to weigh in on this real quick.
You're going to weigh in on this. Okay.
Because I got something to say about the Acacia scales. Or Acacia scales?
Acacia. I don't know how to...
I just literally looked up the pronunciation on Google, and it said Acacia. Those scales, here's the deal. You know what I use a scale for? Let me tell you something that I use it for.
What do you use it for?
To weigh stuff. You know what else I might use it for? To use it as a timer.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
You know what I don't need when I want to weigh something? A firmware update.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just want to move on. I just want to weigh stuff. I don't want to have to connect my scale to the interwebs and the Wi-Fi of and to update it. I already got to update my phone. What makes you think I want to update my scale? Bro, just tell me the grams.
Did it forget how to weigh?
Yeah, right.
I don't know, man. You can't. It says update on it. And then you can't
really
do anything. Like, I love those scales. Yes. I literally love that. Those. I love those scales.
I do, too.
They're awesome. But yeah. Here's the deal. When an update, it just says update. And I'm like, what? Do you need to learn how to weigh better? And if so, can you show me some other signal that you need to update besides covering up the part that you're used for? That's like having an iPhone that says you can't make a call or even get on the phone till you update it. You just have to do it. But this only has two objectives: weigh stuff and time it.
That
grinds my burrs, dude.
They also have the calibration. Like, they have little weights that you can buy to recalibrate it. And I'm like, why? Like, can it not tear anymore at zero?
Do those also cost $300?
Yeah, and they're expensive. I had a friend asking me about those. I was like, do I need to buy these? I was like, no. I don't know anyone that actually calibrates those scales ever. And I was like, it's probably for the nerds that will spend hundreds of dollars on their home setups.
I love those scales. I wanted at least a Lunar for primitive, but it's like, I can't. A startup budget cannot house that. So I got a Barista, and it broke, like, on the way to me. So that sucked. But the CJ5000, though, you gotta look out. That's the best scale out there.
Maybe we'll land a sponsorship, and then we'll get you a scale, Trey. So
that would be so beautiful.
Cross your
fingers. I will say, though, those people are super nice, the Kai people. They came for World Brewers Cup and all that kind of stuff when it was in Nashville. And they stopped by our shop and they like calibrated all our scales for us, which I still don't know what that does, but like they spent an hour and calibrated all our scales. Which
what
is
if
super
they,
nice.
That is really nice.
What if that is, while that is nice, I think it'd be really funny if I walked into a place and said I was with that company and said, I'll calibrate your scales. And I totally did. And I just put stuff on it. I will say this, favorite part about that is the app. And my second favorite part about it is when people don't know there's an app and they're doing a pour over and you're sitting at the bar and you Bluetooth connect to it and you tear out their scale in the middle of their pour over and prank them.
That's funny.
Because don't even act like I don't go to Humphrey Street and sit at the bar and wait for Curtis to be doing a pour over. And I'm like, boop.
It's true.
That's evil.
Oh, so sad.
I don't know where this Gesha pour over was at, but I guess you got to throw it away.
Guess you got to give it to me now.
Oh man, that's kind of a funny thought. Like, I can imagine like walking into a shop and like, you know, crossing my fingers that there's nobody important behind the bar, like beyond like a barista, and just be like, yeah, I'm actually a rep for Slayer, and I'm here to do some maintenance on your espresso machine. You mind if I just, pop the top off and look at the boiler real quick and start...
Just bang it with stuff?
Yeah, I'll start turning all the knobs and the dials for, like, you know, the timing and everything and start messing it up. I know a shop
tell
I
them that
on, too.
You tell them about, yeah, you really need to work on your post-infusion probably on this Slayer.
Yeah,
so.
I can tell by just the way this is calibrated that you haven't been doing a post-infusion for 80 seconds after you get to your final weight. So just make sure you're doing that for the longevity of the machine. Anyways, I'll send you an invoice. It'll be like $900.
but grinds your burrs, Trey.
You know what grinds my burrs? And I had some conversation about this a few weeks ago on Instagram, but tips grind my burrs because of, I know it's a vicious cycle of conversation, but it just sucks that we're stuck in the system where people can't pay enough to where tips don't matter. And people can't like, it's like you got to tip people or else you are literally the spawn of Satan. And sometimes I've just been out and I've been like going to all restaurants and all these things, or like if I'm traveling, it's so hard to like budget for like the extra money of tipping everywhere. But it's like, I'm also like not gonna not tip, you know, like that's just not me, but it is tough. And like, it just sucks that people, one, don't get paid enough to like comfortably be able to not care about tips. But there's also like the social construct of like, you have to tip. And you know, it's like, is it on the customer? Is it on the barista? No. I mean, is it on the customer? Is it on the owners? Kind of both, but also it's really on the system. It's just it's just what we're stuck with.
The system at large.
The system at large. And you know what else grinds my burrs? When you ask people if they are interested in buying enamel pins, and then you make a lot of enamel pins, but not a lot of people that said they are interested in buying enamel pins go to our website and buy enamel pins. Hell no, dude.
Grinds my burrs.
I did meet a person at, I met a guy at Palace who was like, I'm trying to get the money to get an enamel pin. And I was like, you know, it's the system, dude. It's the freaking tipping system. It's the system.
Tipping system. It's
$10. It's the system getting us down. And you can't get your enamel pins, so we get it. We know the system is against you, but we're here to say at Socialist Barista, we're for you. So if you type the promo code, the system, you will get no, you actually won't get anything for that. But if you type it in, you'll know.
You'll have won at least that much.
Or if you type it in, maybe the enamel pins will be like $3 cheaper and free shipping. Who knows? That's just me.
For people that actually listen to the podcast.
For people that actually listen to the podcast within the first week.
Yeah. Trey Kyle, what is that website for those enamel pins?
I don't know. Go to the link in my bio on Instagram.
Wait, and are we actually going to make the system a...
Let's make this... I want to make the system a
promo,
code. Yeah, I am. You got two weeks from this Thursday when this episode releases, so...
The system. Well, guys, you know what really grinds my brains?
All right, wait. USA only. Yeah.
Sorry, Canada. This
I don't got money.
Sorry, Canada.
You guys got healthcare, so the system can't. Okay.
No, your system is fine.
Your system's awesome.
Nick's going to be so mad we said that.
Well, guys, you know what really grinds my burrs is
I have no
when
clue.
People come up to the bar as I'm making their drink, because they've been, you know, like scouring my bar as I'm making drinks, and they're like, this one's mine. And so they walk over. And they're like, hey, could you pour the one that looks like a fern in my cup and ask for like specific latte art?
Yeah, that's kind of, I don't really like that.
Yeah, it's impeding on my like artistic abilities, you know? It's like, I can't.
Creative control. If
yeah.
You will.
Like, what if I don't feel like pouring a Rosetta, you know?
But I have like ferns. I'm allergic.
The last two shops I've worked at, we're very like over the top, trying really hard to be aesthetically pleasing shops, and they definitely like fit that clientele of like basic white girl shops. But I would always have people come up and they would be like, they would be with somebody and they'd be like, hey, could you just like pour me something pretty? Like, I'm going to buy like whatever you can pour something pretty on. And you're like, what? It's like, yeah, we're doing like a photo shoot. So just like, if you could pour something pretty, it's like, oh, like, it's so weird being paid to like make a latte, but for the purpose of it being visually pleasing. But in reality, those people don't freaking know crap about latte art. I could literally pour a blob and they'd be like, it's beautiful. Like,
it's beautiful. Thank you.
Because it's one of those things.
Like,
that
happens. It's a goat.
Yeah. Because it's one of those things that happens. Like, you're just pouring, and then everyone has this. You're in the middle of a rush, and you're trying to make some beautiful pours consistently and quickly. But every once in a while, one gets in there that you look at, and you're like, oh, that's really horrible. But I don't have time to, like, you know, redo the drink. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then you put it out there, and you look at it shamefully. You hate yourself. You're just so upset and mad. And the customer comes up, and they're like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. Like, wow. Like, what is it? And they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm really good at this.
Yeah. I've been doing this for a while. So.
Totally.
What Trey Dex and I used to do when we messed up latte art is we would get the little whisk, swirl it around in a circle. Just be like, oh, it's a galaxy. It's the Milky Way.
I've seen Milky people Way. Do that. Get a thermometer and like you do like
Milky Way.
A cross and then an X through that. And then you do a little spiral to the middle and it makes this like crazy looking design. Works every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Well, Trey Dex, why don't you give us a little primitive update? What's the coffee cart been up to? I know that you've been up to it a lot this past weekend.
Yeah, let me tell y'all. It's been so busy. My body hurts. So basically, I drove 13 hours to Amarillo last week, started building this cart. My brother built it out of metal. He's a metal fab guy or metal fabricator. And so he did, the build out process of it. Which it's funny, not a lot of people do like YouTube videos on like how they did their build out specifically and why they made those decisions. There's a few people that'll be like, oh, I did this and I did this with the electrical, but you can tell they got busy doing the build out that they didn't actually post any more videos. Like they just did like little bits. So with me, the first thing we did was focus on, of course, like the shape, and me and my brother had a meeting beforehand. And I do recommend to anybody making a coffee cart, if you go with wood, you really got to be careful because, man, like, you know, coffee grounds get stuck in stuff and cleaning it, and you're going to have warping because you're going to have a few leaks. You're going to have water and milk on stuff. And so you can treating your woods the best, but the few carts that I've seen that have really been awesome have been really nice epoxy treated wood for the counter and for the floor, or stainless steel for the top. And let me tell you, stainless steel is great because if you need to resell the cart for any reason, it's already food grade. It's a big deal. So my brother, at first, he just got some steel pipe, basically very kind of thin steel pipe. We just made a big rectangle box out of it. I found some 8-inch casters that had rubber. They're known as foam, but they feel like actual rubber aired up tires. But they had a little bit of tread on them so I could have some all-terrain. But 8 inches was perfect. And my goal was to get this car under 40 inches, and I got right under 40 inches tall, including the casters. I got a commercial fridge that's usually $1,200 for only $350. So that was a big deal. And we bolted that sucker into it just so it would never move. When I wouldn't have to take it out to transport. It would always stay in there. So that's bolted in with a little lock hinge, like one of those little like flap things that go over like the skinny lock, and then you turn the skinny part to make it like tight.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then we covered the outside with sheet metal, a style of sheet metal, a thin layer of sheet metal, and bent it and curved it to make it look nice. The thing is, though, is you have to paint it or put nylon wrap or whatever. No, not nylon. I don't know. Maybe it is right. But basically, you either got to wrap it or paint it, because sheet metal, I'm talking about, you just put a little water droplet on it, it'll turn to rust, and you don't want that. So you have to spray paint it or something, which we did. And then the floorboard, we got some stainless steel for that, which is awesome because it water leaked all over the floorboard when we first tried it out. And there wasn't a bit of rust, no issue at all. And the top is stainless steel as well. And I did what's called polished stainless steel instead of brushed. So brushed is what you usually see on like sinks and other things that are like really like the steam pitchers are usually a brushed stainless steel. But we did the polished. It looks kind of nice, looks campier.
Cool.
And so then we basically it was just cut out what we need on the top. And the plumbing was tough. I had it all planned out, but it was tough because, man, when one thing will probably leak and it's just kind of like undoing, redoing, undoing, retaping, redoing, all this stuff. But basically the whole point, which I put in the primitive Instagram, was to start with a pump. I use jerry cans for my water. I have a gray water and then a clean water. And so I pump from my 5-gallon jerry can with a SureFlow pump into a SureFlow accumulator, which are two different pieces, but they usually sell together. And then that goes into a T-joint. And so if I follow one route, that goes into the filter, water filter. And then that filter turns into a T-joint, which goes to the espresso machine and the cold water tap, right? So that's my filtered path. Then if I go back to that original first T-joint, that goes up into another T-joint, which is non-filtered water. That goes to my pitcher insert and hot water because I need to have hot water. So I had to buy $80 to $100 hot water, tank, which I recommend 2.5-gallon is good. If you can get less, you good, but get a stainless steel one. Don't get a glass one because if that thing juts around, that glass breaks, you're going to have an issue. And I learned a lot, don't have that water heater on or your espresso machine on unless there's water in it because those heating elements will get a lot of like carbon and stuff on them and it'll be bad, stuff like that to take in mind. And so we did all the plumbing. Of course, we had our leaks. We had issues. And then the biggest thing, guys, and if you're listening and you're building a coffee cart, this is the biggest deal, is electrical. A small espresso machine, the one I have, pulls 10 amps. Each outlet, like on your normal house wall, is a 15-amp outlet. So if you go more than 15 amps on it, it'll get too hot and it'll pop the breaker. That's why a breaker will usually pull, is because it gets too hot. Some of you guys at coffee shops might have experienced this when you have two electric kettles on one thing and then other things are also on that breaker. It pops all the time because the hot water kettles pull a lot of amps at once. Yeah. It takes a lot to have a heating element and to have it quick. Slow heating elements, you're not going to have this issue. Ones that have to pop on and stay on, you'll have this issue. So the espresso machine pulls 10. The grinder pulls 6.7, and my fridge pulls 4.7, and then my pump pulls 1 amp, and then my hot water heater pulls 1440 watts, so that's quite a bit. That's 5.7, basically. So I have to run one extension cord, and I got one of those thick cables, like a 12-gauge cable.
Yeah.
And I run that to one outlet that's on one wall that I know is a separate circuit. And then I run that's like my espresso machine and fridge. And then I run my grinder and pump with a second cable to another outlet, like in another room or somewhere else that I know is a different circuit. Like you just, if you don't know, then I'd say testing it sucks unless you know where the breaker box is. And then the third cable is a lone cable that only runs the water heater. Which will turn on for the hand washing sink. So the place where I'm going to be at, it's not a big deal. Of course, there are way sexier ways to do this, like actually getting an RV cable that's a 220 plug, and you find like a 30 amp. So if you have a 30 amp plug, and you run that cable all the way to your, your espresso cart, and then you build in your own little breaker box into it, then that's a different story. But these are the main big hiccups of making a cart, which I'm thinking about making a video of, YouTube, I don't know. Just because nobody explains these things to be thinking about. Yeah. And I only think about them because I helped my dad build a house, helped my brothers build stuff and all that stuff growing up. So you think about electrical, you think about plumbing and pressure. You can't just get half inch inner diameter nylon tubing for your stuff or they're just going to pop off everything because they can't take a lot of pressure and they're going to kink easy. Stuff like that. These are things that not every person's going to think about. And you should be able to get on YouTube or talk to other baristas and get this knowledge. And then, sorry, I said all of that. That took forever. But quickly, my softest of openings was at the Wesley Foundation in Canyon, Texas, and today at my church. And it went really well. I ran out of coffee the first time at the Wesley, and it was good, man. The machine kept up. It was about as inconsistent as a person on a manual machine, honestly, having cool. to like make a drink and then stop it. So it was a few grams off here and there. But that, I wasn't really bothered by that. I got the Luca A53 Direct Plum from Clive Coffee, and then I got the Eureka, whatever their Olympia or Olympus.
Yeah, something like that.
Or something. Yeah. And it's great. Ran great. And man, my vision of community that's better than coffee came true. People loved my beverages. They said it was tastier. And just saying, I love Palace. But I was doing some things that were from Nashville there, like espresso tonic and different lattes and stuff. And a lot of people said, I mean, they might have been just blowing smoke, but they were just like, man, this is like, it's so unique. This is like, you know, so different than even what Palace does and stuff. And I like that, you know,
it makes
it's good
sense,
to have variety.
Yeah. So yeah. It is different coffee scene for sure.
And then I was in Nashville at church this morning doing the coffee bar, and man, it felt smooth. It just, people would come up, say what they want, boom. And I was just making it, and I loved it. It felt like a normal bar, and it was great. And what's next for Primitive, basically, is sorry, Parker's probably supposed to ask these questions. I'm looking at the script. I'm totally keeping
good,
the
dude.
Podcast. And I'm just telling, I'm on a roll, baby. I'm going.
Dude, just go.
Hey, so Trey, what's next for Primitive? What's your next?
Yeah, hey, what's
Parker,
next?
Let me tell you what's next. Okay, so basically, what's next is a lot more stress than I anticipated. So the job I work at, Earth Rides, I only called off last week, but I think they took that as me starting my business. So they did not schedule me this week for work or next week. And there's no place for me to work. Like, there's only like one open shift for me to be able to work at. So I'm freaking out a little bit because income is crazy when you're opening a business and all your income just files into the business, basically. But I had a little freak out moment. And so, because I was going to take 2 weeks to work and to also kind of slowly get the business up and running. But now I have to fast track. So I'm a little stressed. But basically, while I have like barely any income, if any right now, I'm going to spend one whole week focusing on getting my health permit because it's all I need left. That's the only thing I need. And as soon as that goes through, if I can get it by this week, I'm going to grand opening on Saturday.
Heck yeah.
But I'm going to run through my POS system. I'm going to run through everything, and I'm going to run through my scheduling, my syrups. Everything is going to be figured out and perfected perfectly. As into exactly what I want for fall. I'm talking about seasonals for fall, everything. And I've already got one seasonal, the Festus, which is brown sugar with brown sugar syrup with a little star anise extract into an espresso tonic. That's the old Festus, and I'm really pumped about it. But stuff like that, like I'm sitting and I'm just going to spend a week, and I'm not going to stress about having that money. I'm going to spend my time focusing on having a consistent opening. And since I'm by myself, my girlfriend and my dad think I need to have one day off. I'm just kind of like, no, 7 days a week, 7 to 2, you'll see me. But I do need to probably have a day off to do bank runs and stuff. But I'm going to do 6 days out of the week if I can get open by Saturday. And I'm just going to do a grand opening Saturday. Anybody come hang out, and it's going to be great. And then Sunday I'll have off because I'll only be serving at my church. And then, you know, until I can get a consistent customer base, I'm going to wait to be open on Sundays, like, later. And then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'm going to do that until I can hire another person, which I never have recommended, you know, changing your hours, like gaining hours, because it's harder for people to get used to. But we're starting business, and you only really get one chance at that, not five chances at that, like a coffee shop that Trey and I have worked at, where they change their hours five times in a month and a half.
And customers are like, when are you open?
Yeah, we
don't
even
know. This is always changing.
But that's what's next. And man, well, I might be stressed about cash flow right now. I'm a person that knows that cash, like money and that kind of provision is going to happen for me. You know, I know that, and I've seen that in my past, whether that's, you know, people being very gracious and very giving, or that's just me not having to spend money. But I know if I can focus on my time being important, that money will come around. And so this week's going to be hard hitting. Parker's going to see me a lot at Humphrey Street.
Heck yeah.
But we got to hit the ground running. We got to get it done. Well, and we're doing it.
I'm excited for you, dude.
We have a lot of people that support this show financially on Patreon and through buying enamel pins. And I see Primitive as an extension of this show. So for those of you that have helped in Patreon, we are sending Trey some money. And not a lot of money, because we don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we're going to send Trey some money.
We're going
to
show up at my doorstep with one of those huge checks.
A smile and a lot of balloons. Yes.
How do we get the huge checks? Can we get one? How much do they cost?
That might be the cost of everything we already have in our little small bank.
Spend all our money on the check.
But
it cost us all the money to buy the check. So here's a dollar.
But Trey, we're going to send you some money to help out. So, because it's an extension of this show. So we're going to be sending some Patreon money your way, sir, to help get things going.
Thanks, man.
And while on the topic of Patreon, we do have a new Patreon member, Patreonite, as of literally 2 hours ago.
Heck yeah.
The name is Liam, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, but I think it's Burge. B-E-R-G-E. Liam Burge.
B-E-R-G? Would that be Berg?
Oh, maybe Berg. I don't know. They're from the UK, I think. Because I think it's the pound symbol. So it looks like they're from the UK.
You show it on the... He showed us on... Look, it's the pound symbol.
The pound symbol.
We have a UK listener.
They're paying pounds.
Because we've been talking about James Hoffman so much, we're starting to get those UK listeners.
Oh, yeah.
My impressions have been so good that that's it.
I have to change the title of this episode to James Hoffman something, so when people search James Hoffman, we'll pop up. Know the algorithm, baby.
James Hoffman, one star, question
but
mark.
Shout out to Liam. Thanks for joining the crew.
Thanks, Liam.
The SB crew, and helping us do some cool stuff. We got plenty more cool things on the way, so keep an eye out. But, guys, you know, to wrap up the episode as we're going, because I know we've kind of gone a little long, but we got some freaking banging one star reviews that hit up. Freaking banging. And I just got to start with this one. It's from another country, but it says, it was translated to me by the person that sent it, but it said, guys, inform Google Maps when you close for vacation. Other than that, amazing coffee. The best in central Athens. One star.
They gave him one star.
Because they didn't update Google about their temporary vacation, which I've never seen that anyone
well,
do.
Well, the coffee shop needs to update their hours, and then that person needs to update their review, because that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. But like, I mean, like, product was great. Going through the trouble of updating your hours just for like 1 week is kind of a lot.
That is. Just put up a sign.
Or that's get just on true. Instagram. That's just me. Y'all got any one-star reviews, though?
Yeah, we got some. Let's see. The first one I've got is great coffee, friendly, knowledgeable staff, no parking spots, one star.
Wow. What? No parking spots.
Can you imagine?
It seems a little unlikely too, because I mean I've been having to deal with this like literally this week. You can't get like a fire code for like having people in your building if you don't have parking spots.
Really?
And so yeah, and so like they obviously had parking spots somewhere.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Wow. I feel bad for the shops that are like in weird places where you kind of in a way don't have parking spots. Like if you're like in like a downtownish area. And you just have like the street parking that everyone has access to for every business. Like, why are you gonna put all that frustration on the coffee shop? Like, it's not their fault they don't have parking spots.
It's truly not. That's funny because we got that when I worked at the Foundry Coffee House. We got that complaint all the time. Like, man, this is the best coffee in town, but there's nowhere you can't park anywhere. And they're like, there's a parking garage across the street. I'm like, yeah, but you have to pay for it. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Look, dude, I got a review for you.
So I don't know, man.
Starts the same here. Great coffee, of course. Everyone, good, you know, low star review has
great job, everyone.
Great coffee. Best I ever had. What? Not bitter, but no flavors and no outlets. 2 stars. Okay. Wow.
You are crazy.
I love a coffee shop with no outlets. I'm not going to lie.
I don't. I need to charge my shoes. Duh, that was so stupid. I'm sorry.
Whatever, dude. Okay. Okay. I got, here's another.
It's the new Yeezys.
The coffee and aesthetic were superb. However, it was really lacking a bathtub with a view, shaking my head. 1 star.
No way.
Legit, it says lacking a bathtub with a view.
My,
what a troll.
Were they trying to say like lacking a bathroom with a view or something, or were they just straight up trolling?
I don't know.
Maybe it autocorrected.
I couldn't tell you.
Maybe. I don't know what they were trying to say if it did autocorrect. Okay. Well, here's my next one. Cute baristas, but they don't flirt back. 2 stars.
I got a feeling I know if a male or female wrote that.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
That's a big time creep.
Guys, if you're a dude and you're listening to this podcast right now,
don't be a jabroni.
They're just being nice.
Do not flirt with anyone who is currently not able to leave.
If they wanted to be flirty, they would probably do it when they're off the clock rather than just on the clock.
Yeah. I've heard that from stories from people visiting America that weren't like foreigners, like going to restaurants and thinking like the waiters or waitresses were flirting with them. And it's like, no, they're just milking you for a tip.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. It's sad. Okay, look, I got one. They didn't let me in 30 minutes before opening so I can buy coffee. 1 star. Bro, I'm not letting myself in 30 minutes before a lot of openings.
Seriously.
Let alone a custy. And not gonna lie, when they try to press you, be like, oh, I was just gonna buy coffee. You're like, yeah. You wouldn't have been able to buy it until I opened, and you're not getting in.
You were just going to buy coffee like everyone else between the hours of 7 and 4 p.m.
Yeah, you weren't here to buy a Cadillac.
Like,
I'm a lenient person. It matters on my bar, for instance. Like, you know, at a big bar where there's just too much space or something like that, and it's just me, probably not going to let you in. If I'm opening with another barista, I probably wouldn't mind letting you in. And if it's raining or something... If it's like inclement weather, I'm probably going to let you in because, I mean, that sucks. But if it's just the morning and like you walk up to the door, waiting in your car is going to be 20 times better.
True.
Just wait.
Oh, yeah. This review says, perfect place to be self-served by wayfish hipsters in the classic Portland style. Don't expect to be acknowledged, smiled, at or greeted. Just be satisfied you're getting Portland's finest brewed coffee served by your surliest tattooed, underfed, attic-dwelling urbanites in the Pacific Northwest. 2 stars.
Oh, 2. Okay.
Just 2.
I'll say, this warrants a 2.
You're getting good brew, but it's by people that live in the attic.
And also, it doesn't sound like the baristas were mean or anything. Like, yeah, you get in there and you get coffee and you get out. Like, what more can you really ask for?
That's one of the pet peeves I have of coffee is like, and this is on the customer and people that aren't super into specialty coffee in general, but like the whole like judging a place just because there's hipster-ish people that work or go there is just childish. Like, grow up. Like,
yeah,
it's just kind of like ridiculous.
I have given not just great reviews to coffee shops before, mainly because I'm just a tool like that sometimes. But I've given a 3-star review. I don't think I've ever given a 1-star review, but I've given a 3-star review because it just was an honestly like a not very solid experience. The coffee wasn't super great, but they promote that hard about it and they like believe that it's great. And the experience with the baristas was like not good. Like if anything, it was actually bad. And I left a 3-star review, and then they messaged something, and they were, like, super honest and respectful about it. And when I went back in, that barista that was the main issue of a thing was gone. So I figured something, I don't know, like, something had happened because I never saw him again. And I totally took off that review because, like, I'll say this. When you respond to a review, you never know what can happen with that. A lot of good things can come out of that when you respond in a cool way.
Yeah.
But I got one, and it's, hey guys, look, let's be honest. This is real. All caps, not a single lowercase letter, but it does end with just a period. You can't be contactless. It's illegal. That, what does that even mean? It's like, it's illegal? No, it's not.
It's inconvenient to you, apparently, but that does not make it illegal.
Like when people would come in to Revelator and they're like, you guys don't take cash? And it's like, no. And of course it sucked. I wish we did take cash. And they're like, well, I guess I'll have to go somewhere else. It's like, wait, you're telling me you're walking around in the world and you don't have a digital style of payment? Yeah. I think you're going to be highly surprised in other places besides this little coffee shop.
Very true. My next one is also about parking, actually. It says, meh, parking slim, had to cross the park across the street. And in parentheses, the person who submitted it said, our parking is across the street. And that was a 3-star review.
That was Manchester and Lexington.
That's so good.
I love that. People are so confused, but it makes sense for the original location because they're parked next to this, like, Manchester Coffee shares the same building as a place called Manchester Music Hall. So people assume the Manchester Music Hall is the parking, but sometimes there's stuff going on over there, but the actual parking for the coffee shop's across the street, so people don't, like, they don't put two and two together. So then they're just like, what the heck? Like, where do I even park?
That is so... I'd rather park across the street than have to park, like, miles down a huge parking lot that's packed every weekend because there's 1,000 things, and I can't even park there. Exactly. I'd rather park in across the street, personally.
Yeah. This one says, another day, another granola disaster. 1-star.
Another granola disaster is an incredible name.
I'm really wondering.
Or something.
What does granola disaster even look like? I need to see it.
Well, like, a lot of what I've learned is a lot of, like, people that are, like, kind of like the, you know, live out of your van. Yeah. Those people, like, go down to the, you know, nature park or whatever. Like not Nick or anything, but Nick is not.
I think it's Nick.
Nick's not a granola person, but that's, I think that's what the reference was.
Yeah. Well, I got one for you.
It is.
Starts out as all good reviews. Great coffee, but they don't allow dogs. Parker, 2-stars.
It's me.
I literally witnessed Parker. I'm talking about like a deputy. Like, be like, we don't allow dogs in here. But
guys, it happens at our shop probably 4 times a week.
Because it's
where someone
so
walks
normal.
In with a dog. No.
Well, no. I'm on your side.
Oh, okay. It's like, what?
It's so normal and accepted that you should be able to bring your dog anywhere. But I don't know about Nashville, but Lexington is specifically against health code to have animals that are not service animals.
Yeah,
if
same.
You don't, yeah. But if you have closed door entries, you can't. If you have like big open door entries, like garage doors, there's apparently another rule against that or something like that.
Yeah.
But people getting frustrated that you can't have dogs somewhere, it's like, it's not, if we could... We would, but it's against a health code. It's not against a coffee shop.
Yeah, it's a restaurant. It's not, like, it is health code and, like, all that kind of stuff, a restaurant. Like, you cannot come in with a dog. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I got one more here at the end. It says, they don't offer any anxiety-friendly drinks. 3-stars.
I'm not trying to be insensitive, but what is an anxiety-friendly... Does that mean no caffeine? Yeah.
I guess it's caffeine free, but like, I mean, milk, you can get a steamer or something, get a hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean,
go somewhere else. Like,
get a chocolate milk. That'll take your anxiety away. It takes mine away.
Yeah. Makes
a little chalky milk.
Listen,
is that all of our reviews or do you have another one, Trey?
I got another one, which reminds me of one that Parker likes a lot. But it's just a 1-star review and it says, haven't been there.
A classic.
1-star, baby.
Who are you, mystery person?
Oh, dude. Okay. I do got one more good one, though.
Hit us.
It says, great coffee, amazing atmosphere, friendly baristas, but I don't like the color of the red espresso machine. It stressed me out. 1 star.
Don't come to my coffee cart.
That's right ridiculous. Now,
because it's red.
The whole thing's red. You're going to have so much anxiety.
You're literally going to faint. You're going to get so many 1 star reviews. Oh, I can feel it.
Maybe that's where they couldn't get the anxiety friendly drinks from, is because the espresso machine was just too aggressive to make any anxiety friendly drinks.
Was this customer a bull? I'm feeling a lot of anxiety.
Do either of you guys watch Ted Lasso?
No.
I'm going to watch it now that second season got announced. Now I have to watch it.
Oh, dude. You got to watch it, because there's this character named Roy Kent, and he's just this angry British dude, and he just says everything straight up, and like he's very straightforward about what he says and kind of aggressive. And sometimes with these reviews, I just have like a Roy Kent thought in my head where I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's just stupid.
Well, guys, look, here's the deal. Thanks for hanging out with us for another podcast. We always appreciate, like, doing this podcast. It just feels way more natural now than it even did, like, when we were in season two. It just feels like second nature. And I was even thinking today before we got on, like, I just like talking about silly stuff. It's like, I don't even care about that if we have, like, the best content in all podcast or barista podcasts. It's just fun to kind of let loose and, like, talk about what's happening. But make sure you guys stay tuned for more episodes. The enamel pins, we've mentioned them 1,000 times. Go and grab one. They're worth it. They're really beautiful, I think. And our details for our in-person show going down to Nashville in a few months, we've got those details coming. We've been talking about our finalized schedules for October, November, and so we should have an answer real soon. And please, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, leave a review. Don't only leave a review. The next best thing you can do is share it with a friend. Tell somebody about it. Tell about your favorite episode, the 1-star review episode, or whatever you want. But we so appreciate you guys like looking out for us and reviewing the show and telling friends about it. It means a lot. We're really thankful for all you guys listening. This is the Socialist Barista Podcast.